Welcome to the And One. Today I recap last night's Monday Night Football action, including Drew Brees' below average performance. Plus, listen to my preview of tonight's Lakers vs. Nuggets Game 3 action, and so much more today on the And One. Just a reminder to share my podcast and follow it on Spotify. Let's get started with today's episode, but first, here's a word from our sponsor, Anchor. And let's get started, and let's start off with the Raiders defeating the New Orleans Saints last night, 34-24. Are you buying into the Raiders? And no, I am not. They did just beat a pretty good Saints team last night to give them the credit, but come on. I am not sold on this defense that is ranked 29th in passing so far. There are weaknesses, and there are holes throughout the secondary. Like Drew Brees, who is obviously not playing like his normal, accurate self, he still threw for 3,812 yards. Plus, the Raiders play in the same division as Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are known for their dominant receiver group, so if it is one of the best passing offenses versus one of the worst passing defenses, you know surely that Patrick Mahomes will smoke the secondary. Then Justin Herbert, the rookie out of Oregon, almost outplayed the great Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. If the Chargers want success, and they want to win, then they will start Herbert over Tyrod Taylor, no doubt. But when their coach, Anthony Lynn, says if Taylor is 100%, he will play, my reaction was, well, quote, well, I guess the Chargers want to lose again. When I saw that report. Then the final team in the AFC West is the Denver Broncos, who are facing their trials and injuries right now as Von Miller is out for the year, even before the season started. Cortland Sutton is now out with an ACL tear, and he's done for the year. And Drew Lock is out for up to 5 or 6 weeks with an injury. The one thing I am buying, though, for the Raiders is the offensive trio of Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, and Darren Waller. These guys can ball. There was speculation of Derek Carr entering the year, but he's been so far pretty good, actually very good, even outplaying Drew Brees yesterday. Jacobs had a good game last night with 88 rushing yards as well, but he really blew up and literally carried his team to victory in week one versus the Carolina Panthers, scoring 3 rushing touchdowns and had almost 100 rushing yards too. Waller was targeted around 8 times more than the other pass catchers on this team with 16 total targets. He also got on the score sheet in Las Vegas' first NFL game and added 103 yards. How worried should Saints fans be about Drew Brees? Yeah, they should be worried, because now we are seeing an older Drew Brees. We are seeing age actually hit these guys. And Brees is 41, Brady's 43, so we forget how old these guys actually are, I think. And age comes with a price, and I think it's finally starting to get to both these guys. And we have seen Brady playing like less and less like he was back in his prime, and Brees has to do the same thing, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. We could make the argument that Brees just did not play well because he didn't have his favorite wideout in Mike Thomas due to an injury that happened in week 1 versus Tampa. And honestly, I do think that's part of the reason that Brees did not have much success. But in Thomas's place, Alvin Kamara has shown up so far. Kamara, who I said over the summer, I said was not an indispensable piece for the Saints because of Latavius Murray, which I still think is half true. But I think it's only half true now because Kamara is back to doing what he was doing a couple seasons ago. He's being used effectively in both the rushing and passing game. He even led both of his teams in these categories last night with 79 rushing yards and 95 receiving and adding 2 touchdowns on the ground. But what I have learned from this game is that Kamara, while Thomas is out of games, will be Brees' favorite target, as he was the most targeted player last night. Well, many thought that Emmanuel Sanders would have taken that place, or even the tight end Jared Cook. Those two players still had less targets combined than Kamara's 9. Tre'Quan Smith also played well to give credit to a Saints receiver, but a touchdown was not seen in his decent game for Smith. If we see this type of play from Brees in the next couple of weeks, then there will be some questions and decisions over his starting position, as there was speculation that he could retire over the summer. But the Saints, and then also the Saints did lose Teddy Bridgewater in the offseason, who did play a vital role while Brees was injured last year, going undefeated in his 5 starts. But there's still Taysom Hill, who seems to be, I guess, the future of the team, as some people say. But in my opinion, Jameis Winston would be the next starter in the quarterback position. Winston does have a bad turnover history, especially pertaining to the number of interceptions he throws, but he's still a somewhat talented and younger player. He can throw the ball down the field, we know, as he had 5,000 passing yards last season. And with Michael Thomas available, a better and stronger offensive line with New Orleans, Winston could potentially be a top 10 quarterback, most definitely a top 15 quarterback. Let's keep it in the NFL. Who is a bigger loss to their own teams, Saquon Barkley or Nick Bosa? And Nick Bosa is the bigger loss for two reasons. First, Saquon's injury, it's big. We saw this last year too, but it's not a bigger loss because the Giants were not going anywhere. Sure, the NFC East winner does not need that many wins to actually win their division, as I think an 8-8 record is good enough, just like it was last year for the Eagles. But this Giants team has not really changed from last season. Their offensive line is still terrible, even with the draft and offseason additions made, as last Monday's game versus the Steelers highlighted the many errors in this line. Then Daniel Jones is still not playing to his full potential yet. We've talked about his high ceiling, but he is still showing many examples of poor decision-making and recklessness with some weird, risky, and just dangerous passes that he tries to make. He tries to force them. The defense for the Giants is not the best. Somehow, they are currently ranked second best in total pass defense, but their defense is just really nothing special in my eyes. They did add some key roles, including Blake Martinez, the linebacker from the Packers, and James Bradbury, the corner from Thieves Avenue, a.k.a. the Carolina Panthers defensive secondary. But then I actually love the Giants' free safety, Jabril Peppers, but still, it's nothing too special. Then secondly, this is the San Francisco 49ers we're talking about. This is the team that was up by 10 points in the Super Bowl last year, but then unfortunately Patrick Mahomes came alive and beat them. Just in the past week two game versus the New York Jets, four key players for San Fran fell to injury, including both defensive ends, including Solomon Thomas, and of course, Rookie Defensive Player of the Year, Nick Bosa. Raheem Mostert, who had secured the number one running back job for this team, fell to a mild MCL injury and left the game early. And then even quarterback Jimmy G left the game early because of a high ankle sprain. The Niners are hopeful that Jimmy G will return for Game Week 3, where they will return to MetLife Stadium in New York to face off versus the Giants. Finally. But there are still more injured players that I have not even mentioned for the Niners, including three primary pass catchers in Deebo Samuel on IR, and the stud George Kittle, who I am pretty sure will return for the game versus the Giants. And then there's rookie Brandon Ayuk, who is listed as questionable for the third week in a row, but I do expect him to play as he did this past week. Then Richard Sherman was put on IR last week prior to the game versus the Jets. So this Niners team, who are currently 2-0, will need these pieces to return if they want to make it back to the Super Bowl. Nick Bosa is a vital piece for this team's success. He's out for the year. And the success for this Niners team is actually a real thing, unlike the Giants, who are not making the playoffs. So with Bosa down, this defense does weaken a ton. And without Thomas, this weekend continues to weaken, making it easier for opponents' offenses in this hard NFC West division. It will be super hard for San Fran to return to a Super Bowl. Let's move on to the NBA, and talk about the Lakers versus Nuggets. Give my Game 3 preview of that one. And first off, how important for the Lakers is this Game 3? Is it like a must-win? Do they need to win it? Oh, it is so important, really, in my opinion. It is not a must-win for the Lakers, but it is a very important game for the Lakers. It is important because they can, I think, seal it if they win this one. If you give that Nuggets team just a glimpse of life or some sort of positivity, then watch out. If this is a hot, smoking Nuggets team, then the Lakers will have tons of trouble. I think that if the Lakers win this one, though, it is highly likely that you will see LeBron and Anthony Davis in the finals and a sweep actually versus Jokic and Murray. But still, this Denver team feeds off that momentum, and if the Nuggets find that momentum, good luck, because they're going to be eating some Lucky Charms. But I have really loved what Dwight Howard has done so far when he's on Jokic. He has been almost instigating Jokic to do some stupid thing where he fouls Howard. It's just really stupid from Jokic, really, and it shows off his inexperience. And like he has, like, Howard has really been taking advantage of Jokic height wise, and like I said just a couple seconds ago, experience wise, the height has been a real tool that LA has used, and they need to continue playing their seven footers as it has been working. LeBron, Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, and Dwight Howard have been stopping the Nuggets at the rim constantly with block upon block upon block. Howard had his way with them in game one with three blocks, and he should not stop. He should continue just smacking that ball. Rondo has been really good too, keeping the saying that Rajon Rondo really shows up in the playoffs as a real thing. As in his 20 or so minutes off the bench, he's been averaging close to 9 assists an outing. Along with those assist totals, his perimeter play, both defensively and offensively, have been some of the best things to watch in these games. Rondo has been forcing bad passes, which Alex Caruso or LeBron James grab and take to the hoop for those oops and highlights that we have seen. Then he's obviously increased his three-point shooting as he has been nailing some step backs from deep. The Lakers could really use this win to show off their talent, which is a real thing that I'm buying, but I'm also buying the sweep in this one, but I do expect a very close one tonight. Let's move back to the NFL with my top five NFL teams after week two. Let's start off with number five. Actually, yes, let's start off with number five, where I have the Buffalo Bills. The Bills have broken through to this fifth spot because of Mr. Josh Allen, the quarterback. He has started off the season balling with victories over two divisional opponents in the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. Yes, not the toughest opponents, but I still think you gotta give him the credit where the credit's due. Allen has thrown for 729 total yards already, along with six touchdowns. Plus, his connection with Stephon Diggs is already a threat, as Diggs currently leads the league in receiving yards. The Bills have a top defense in the league, even with the injuries due to Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. But I still think that with this offense firing on all cylinders, that they deserve to be here. They deserve to be in my top five. And they will face off versus a strong LA Rams team this weekend, so they can prove to us that they deserve belong to be in this top five. Number four, I have the Green Bay Packers. Two games, two divisional wins. Aaron Rodgers may have had a rougher start versus the Lions, but he turned it around in that second quarter. And Devontae Adams may currently be out because of an injury, but Aaron Jones has been let loose. He went absolutely crazy versus the Lions with 236 total scrimmage yards and three touchdowns. He's known for scoring some touchdowns, so expect him to continue his dominance into week three when they will face off their toughest opponent yet, which is the New Orleans Saints. Number three, a drop and a maybe a surprise, I have the Kansas City Chiefs here at number three. Still 2-0 in a close overtime thriller versus the divisional Chargers and their rookie quarterback Justin Herbert. Patrick Mahomes in this offense is excellent. There's no doubting that. And it's no question that they're the best in the NFL. But this defense does not compare to their offense whatsoever. It's like watching two different teams as they let opponents pass and rush right through them. Yeah, they got Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, whatever, but he needs to make an even more of an impact if he wants the team's number one spot back. Number two, and this is a jump for the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are here because they got Russell Wilson straight up. Wilson has been throwing the ball with a hunger, with a passion, and with just a determination to win a Super Bowl. Wilson has currently thrown the most touchdowns in the NFL with nine in only the two games so far played, plus only has one interception. Easily the best touchdown to interception ratio so far in the NFL. And saying this defense is also no pushover either, with Bobby Wagner controlling the defense on every snap. This team only has positives to say the least. As before I get into my number one pick, I'm just gonna have my honorable mention or my sixth place team, and the Los Angeles Rams, who are also 2-0. But as my number one team, you guessed it is the Baltimore Ravens. Come on, this is Lamar Jackson's team on offense. But that is not the only reason they are my number one team. They're here right now because of their excellent defense. They had four sacks against the Texans and also 13 quarterback hits on Deshaun. And they also forced a fumble and took that thing back to the end zone, putting up those 6 points. This defense held Deshaun Watson and the rest of the Texans offense to only 16 points. Give this defense the credit that it deserves. But to highlight a Texans player, J.J. Watt was pretty solid to give him the credit with two sacks on Lamar Jackson. His first two sacks against Lamar in his career. Now, of course, we have to finish with my predictions and news section. And with the only game tonight being the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets, I already told you my prediction, and I had the Lakers winning, and I also have them sweeping in the series. But to get to my news, there's a lot of it, that's to say the least. Solomon Thomas, the defensive end for the 49ers, is out for the season officially. That is very unfortunate. Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver, to drive a new Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin car in 2021. Very interesting. Christian McCaffrey is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Mike Davis is the current backup for the Carolina Panthers. Quarterback for the Broncos, Drew Locke, is expected to miss 3 to 5 weeks. But in his place, the Broncos will sign a deal with former Jaguars and LA Rams quarterback Blake Bortles, as they're signing him to a one-year deal. Chris Godwin has passed his concussion protocol and will return in week 3. Good news for fantasy owners. Alabama football has officially named Mac Jones as their starting quarterback entering their season opener this weekend. And Atletico Madrid is ready to sign Barcelona striker Luis Suarez to a contract as a free transfer. Good luck to Atletico Madrid in their vengeance versus the Barcelona. And thank you guys for listening to today's awesome episode. Just want to remind you guys to share and follow my podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. This has been the And One with me, Ian Hooks. Hope to see you guys next time.